Hey, good afternoon, everybody. This is Amy Post with Advocacy and Hope. Thank you for spending a little bit of time with me. I always appreciate anything that you can give, your support, and especially your time. So really just kind of want to talk about some additional things that I never had the chance with this guest. Time goes by so quickly when we're on these podcasts. It's one of those things I just want more and more. So I'm doing a little bit of what are they up to now after I have had some guests recently on the podcast, and many of them just continue to excite me and just give me passion and just fire in my belly of just being able to do better things. And so just surrounding myself with amazing people is what I've really tried to do lately. So my guest today, again, as I had him on a few months ago, is Matt Drinkon. And Matt is incredible. If you don't follow him, definitely do. It's Matt Drinkon. You can follow him, Eternal Optimist. He is a father, a husband, an author, a podcast host, an advocate, and an adventurer. And I love all of this because it just, I couldn't put down the book. I couldn't down the podcast. I couldn't put down, I think you had one podcast on your newly, you know, adventures that you went on. So we could spend probably all day doing this, but Matt, welcome again. I'm so glad to have you on my podcast. I just absolutely adore you.
Oh, thank you, Amy. And it's a real pleasure to be here. And I am really excited for a couple of reasons. One, right here in the moment, you said my name right. And even people that I've known for years, sometimes get the last name wrong. So Drinkon is right. So thank you. And you know, we just dive in. I was thinking about things that I'm really grateful for because something really interesting happened last week. My friend and client Scott was in town and was incredibly excited, this taxi driver, to live here in the United States to drive a taxi because where he came from in Haiti, yeah, there were no jobs in his area. He was fearful for his life. He was extorted from the place he lived down there. So it was a very challenging situation. He comes here, and some people may have the lens that this is a less than type of job. And this particular taxi driver is the happiest guy. He was talking the entire ride over. He was there excited to have this job. And it just goes to show you, AB, that, you know, one person's trash, other one's treasure. One person it can take one thing and see it as like the worst thing in the world, and another can turn it upside down and say it's the best. So I just wanted to start off today with, I have hope. I have an attitude of gratitude, and you inspire that in me. So I just wanted to share that to start, that, you know, the lens today is one of hope. The lens is one of, you know, just being grateful for where we're at. So yeah, mm-hmm. That's where I want to start.
Absolutely. I think that is tremendous. Great place to start. I think everybody just needs to listen to that, record it, play it every single morning when they get up, just to give that brain some positive energy. And if that's one thing that I could ask the audience to do, just literally record that and just play Matt every single morning.
Yeah. I like that. I mean, because people always ask me, Matt, you always have this positive smile, attitude. Did you ever have anything wrong? Everything ever hard for you? Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. And I tend to try to make the most or the best of it. Like recently, since we last spoke, you know, a dear family member had a stroke and became blind. And this is someone who's up there in years, you know, and that was a very challenging phone call / week leading into Christmas, you know, that a dear person I've loved my entire life is suffering and struggling. And, you know, you never know what's going on in someone else's world. So some people may cloak it with a smile. Some people may genuinely just be pressed to be in a low spot, but wherever they are, I just, you know, want to offer some empathy and some patience and some gratitude, because, you know, we can get through it. And when we find a community like the one that you're creating and the one you have, it makes it so much, I wouldn't say it makes it less painful. It just simply makes it easier or better to know that other people have overcome, other people are enduring, and we can do it together as a community. All right. I leaned on my family and some friends in my front row dad community pretty heavily when, you know, this happened in my family. Right. So yeah, that's one thing that's happened since the last time that we spoke. And, you know, there's cool stuff. There's a book launched. Right. So March 8th. Yeah. Oh, I know. Oh, that's fantastic. Thank you. Yeah. The Eternal Optimist. Never too late. Yeah.
Yes. Here it is. I put out a little video. I'll be putting my review as soon as I get through absolutely the last pages, but I put out a great little video on Facebook. I need to actually send that to you. And I'm not sure if you saw it, but the book is it's wonderful. It touches my heart. It makes me smile every time I see it. It's just about being able to be around people that are optimistic. And, you know, through everything that I think everyone goes through, whatever challenge it is, I mean, we all go through hard challenges. We're all just handed something different and we can't control it. We can't control that situation, but we can control how we perceive it and the lens that we look at it through. And I think whenever you get there, that's when you get there. I mean, it took me a really long time to get there. Maybe it doesn't take others that long, but man, I wish I would have known certain things, you know, way back as I was going through all my struggles. But you know what? I'm here. You're here. I think, you know, my hope for others is just really surround yourself with optimistic, positive people, holding you accountable, being there for you, and just being a true friend.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. And the lens is so important, and trying to have other people around you is so important. And an example, I think we talked off camera that I have a birthday coming up. We're recording on a nice Thursday, April 11th. My birthday is on April 13th, 47 years of age. And for the first time in my life ever, 3 weeks ago, I went camping and stayed outside in a tent for the first time. And why is that important today? Well, I was so jacked up for this experience. My attitude was set on, this is going to be amazing. I'm a little bit nervous, but it's going to be awesome. And then the weather forecast changed 2 days before to a low of 40 degrees, a high of 60 degrees, pouring down rain the entire time in the Great Smoky Mountains National Forest. And so I went out there at 45 degrees, pouring down rain for like 12 straight hours. And some would have viewed that as a dampering effect on their trip. I was like, man, I am so grateful to be here. This is a new experience for me. I'm disease-free and healthy and alive. Cold, Emily, who is, you know, going through some tough stuff with their health. There's still to be optimistic. There's still a lens that we can lean into, you know? So I wanted to say that's always been meaningful. Is my go-to is when things are happening that's really hard in life. You know, I like every human out there, I can get down on myself from time to time and be sad and be depressed, and leaning into my people, leaning into this attitude of if there's something that's hard that's happening, then God is giving this to me to test me and to offer me a chance to serve in some way. Just got to figure out how. Yeah.
And God's not going to leave you in those difficult places. And I think with the group of individuals that you were with, none of them were going to leave you in a difficult situation either. But as I listened to it, I mean, I remember those moments. I was like, oh, ooh, whoa. Like, yes. Well, you know, enduring a lot of stuff. But to hear you say that you could still, you know, be extremely positive about it and look at it as a new experience, I think is truly, I mean, that has such a testament, you know, about you and who you are and just your thought process. And I think that if we can each do that each and every day and have those surrounded around us, whatever it might be, to have those reminders, a community, sticky notes, I'm a sticky note queen, just, you know, cheerleader, whatever. I think yes. So your trip sounded actually, it really did.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And what it led to after that, I've never done this before, keep in mind, and all the equipment I have is borrowed. So I'm getting ready to give the equipment back, and it's spring break here for the kids. So they go to the in-laws for a week. And now all of a sudden, my wife and I, Julie, we're here by ourselves, and we decided to go camping. Like literally, we just grabbed this tent. We went camping. It was 80 degrees. It's 59 at night, no rain. So it was like ideal conditions. And, you know, we went and tried it. So two camping trips in a short period of time, just trying to embrace this experience. And it makes me wonder, you know, what other things sometimes am I missing if I always keep my lens on, you know, what's hard or what's challenging? You know, there could be some beauty right in front of me I don't even see because I'm so focused on the hard stuff. Right. And I think that's important, knowing story and knowing that just the story I've shared with, you know, family member that had a stroke recently and caring for them, that we can look at the painful stuff. We can look at the health challenges. We can look at the things that are out of our control. Well, we can't control that, right? Can't control that at all. So I've got to do my very best to show up, well, for my family strong, but also if I have a moment of perceived weakness or just I need to let the emotion out. I want to know I've got some people I can share that with. And I'm glad that you have built a community mm-hmm. that we can do that.
Yeah, it's great. And Matt, one of the things I try to mention on some of the podcasts, but I remember going through the tough times and having friends and having those that we knew and, you know, reaching out to them and asking them how they were doing. And they'd say, oh, you know, I'm fine. My situation isn't nearly as bad as yours. I think just getting over that hump of knowing that we're all facing challenges, it doesn't matter yeah. what that challenge is. I remember feeling defeated when people would say that to me because I felt one, a little isolated. And two, I felt, you know, why would they feel that way? Their challenge is important too. And whatever you haven't gone through, you know, today, it'll make it easier for what you'll go through tomorrow. And I think just like you said, welcoming those adventures, those changes, word for this year, change, and being able to just lean into that ability to change and think it's a good thing, but also just share those stories. So I love it that you're sharing it. And I think that just being able to offer up that is wonderful. But yeah. I think to anybody out there that doesn't feel that their story is worthy or where somebody else has it more difficult, man, I just want them to put that out of their head.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you brought up an interesting exercise. Like, what's the word of the year for you? And my wife and I just exercised together and we figured out our word for the year is surrender. Mm-hmm. You know, and we read that Michael Singer book at near the end of last year, The Surrender Experiment, and kind of to the flow that God puts into your life, whatever the flow of the universe offers you, you know, surrender to that. That doesn't mean be a victim to it. That doesn't mean just sit back and let everything run all over you. It means that sometimes things out of your control happen. And when they do, how you might respond, just let that flow through you, you know, could be very telling. You know, my friends and I, we did them in November, right? So, of course, to continue with this reclaiming the glory days and getting in great shape, I did a Spartan race this past weekend. First one ever, right? Turning 47 here soon. I get my friend group, 42 to 52-year-old friends, and the seven of us go out to do a Spartan race. Amy, we're there on the seventh obstacle. And I knew that out of the 20 obstacles, I was going to skip three of them. I was going to skip the monkey bars. So I skipped them. One of my friends, the youngest guy in our group, 42-year-old, he went up to do the monkey bars and he grabbed the third one and he had enough and he fell to the ground or dropped to the ground. But he landed on his knee and tore his MCL and tore his ACL, right? You know, so what could be a really poor situation is that happened. But talking to this guy and he is sharing with me, his name's Tom. He is sharing with me that he's enthusiastic because he can model for his kids, you know, how to recover and just not lose it, not just be bitter and angry. I mean, a real, true eternal optimist, someone that could take a tough situation and turn it on its side and model for their family, model for themselves. Yeah, so just one more example of how do you deal when stuff hits the fan? Who shows up? Like, you've come face-to-face with this over time for a long time now, right? So I'm wondering, you know, what happens with you now when the stuff hits the fan, when a challenging scenario comes up? Like, what is your mental process or what's your heart inform you to do when the stuff's hard for you, Amy?
Yeah, great question. I have a much better ability to see things in a different perspective because I have looked back at the past with a different lens. I've been able to realize that some things were just completely out of my control. And I know that things moving forward could be out of my control, but I have a much sense on several pillars, like you and I were talking before we hit work, and just it's amazing how once you hit those difficult challenges, the next challenges aren't nearly as hard. I mean, sometimes we get the really early, and I encourage it. Just be like, come on, let's just get those hard challenges out of the way, learn from them, learn from that failure, get back up, whatever it might be, and then be able to move forward and look at it in a different perspective. But it's once again, it's having that optimistic eye, that ability to see something positive, but learning from your mistakes and moving forward. I think if you can't learn from your mistakes, it's really not going to help you with challenges moving forward. And that's something that I pay very, very close attention to, is ensuring of those things that I did incorrectly, or maybe not as well as I wanted to, or maybe I didn't listen to my intuition and I knew it was right. So, and I journal a lot, and, you know, I'm writing the second book now, and just, I pay very close attention to my emotions and my actions and how they affect me and how they affect other people around me. And I'm just very in tune with that. So that all has really helped me really look forward into what is next.
Yeah, I like the emotions. There used to be a real triggering event for me that when my daughter would yell or when my daughter would be maybe a little bit aggressive towards one of my other daughters, I would get up and I'd raise the voice and I would get to try to control this mode as a dad. And now one thing my wife and I are doing is that whenever she raises her voice or gets upset or aggressive towards her younger sister, we just pause and we model a more cool, calm energy. We've been doing that now for a few months. We read a book called, Hunter Gatherer Parent last year. And then we read Good Inside by Becky Kennedy. And we found that just modeling that energy for her outbursts are fewer. They happen. We're imperfect. They're few and far between. And that's been rewarding. What you said is it's just paying attention to our emotion. Is it getting best of us right now and causing us to get angry? And or are we through that and managing that to the best of our ability? And that's been very helpful for us, for Julie and I to manage that with our daughter.
That's awesome. Yeah. Let's get into a little bit about the book. I'm really curious to see, what your thoughts were on why you wrote it. I mean, I can all day long be like, well, you have a successful podcast, you are the eternal optimist. And then, of course, a book just always comes next. Is not easy. I always tell people writing a book is not for sissies. I mean, it just isn't.
Got that right. Yeah.
I want to ride out there, clear the air. It is not like Matt just sat down to like, hey, I'm going to, write a bestseller book and it's just going to be easy breezy and, take care of my family. And nurture my marriage and work my business and my podcast and everything. So every time now, and I have so much more respect for authors now because I wrote my book, but I always want to know, why did you want to write a book? And then I have several questions after that, but
certainly,
what prompted you to write the book? How did it come about?
Well, I'll start with the ego-based part first, because it was always on my dreams list to write a book. Okay. All right. But for the part of me that is past this place of, just write a book to write a book, there's a real reason I wanted to serve people with this book, Amy. And it's because I feel there are a lot of people out there that are just like me and you that are, ambitious, hard charging, what might identify as overachiever. Mm-hmm. People have done really well in anything they've ever tried. And then they get to a point where they want to share that with other people. And I think that the part that I wanted to share is something a lot of people are suffering silence with. And a lot of people may have like a blind spot. They don't even realize that they show up this way. So if you read the book and you'll find in the book that there is a main character named Patrick, that character is modeled after me. And this is actually a creative nonfiction true story. So everything in the book has happened in some way, shape, or form. Now, I changed the name and I changed the locations to protect privacy for people out there. But it's a creative nonfiction story. And first of all, if you've read the book and you're thinking, wait a second, that's you, Matt? I can't believe that because I hate that character. Yes, the character may not come off as the friendliest, nicest person in the universe. Keep in mind, you're reading the book through the lens of someone who is highly self-critical, someone who might be very judgmental towards themselves and judgmental towards the closest people to them in their entire world.
Yeah.
All right. And how many times out there, dear listener, are we that, whether we realize it or not, that we put on this face when we're out in public, but we get home, sometimes we let our guard and we're around the people that we care about the most, and they may not always get the best of us. So from time to time. So I wanted to write a book that would highlight that there is this person that actually is good down inside. They do have a positive slant of things. And simultaneously, they might not be able to always see things through the lens of others. So they might come off as a little bit cold, or it might come off as a little bit maybe inattentive or not paying attention. That's the farthest thing from the truth. They really genuinely care. They don't know how that shows up through the lens of other people. So if there's anyone out there listening that is in a serious relationship, or they're married, or they're in a business relationship with a boss or a peer or an employee, if they're in a relationship with someone in your church or someone on a team or organization you're a part of to volunteer, and every once in a while, that person just rubs you the wrong way. And you're not able to figure out or articulate how or why, this might be a book for you, because this is through the lens of someone who is unintentionally rubbing people the wrong way because of their own inner narrative. So how many times does your own inner narrative hold you back, dear listener? And you don't even know it. Like, I have a client right now who, they grew up, they were a teenage model, and they grew up to be in the fashion industry. And they literally, if you look at it, they're like studying, they're one of the best looking people, and they're successful and they're wealthy. And in our conversations, we're talking, their insecurity is that they don't feel like they're good looking. Their insecurity is they feel like if they don't keep working, they're going to be broke and poor tomorrow. All right. Isn't it interesting that somehow sometimes people's things that you see publicly may be like the badge of honor, but internally it's an insecurity. All right. So I want to bring in this book, I want to bring that to life. I want people to be able to see that it may not always be inside, you know, what it may appear to be outside, and just getting in touch and being able to see how you show up. I think that's one of the lessons I like to illustrate in the book. So I'll pause at that, but that's the first that comes out with the book.
Yeah. I think that's fantastic. And I do understand that. And I think that's really cool. And I love the perspective that you wrote the book. I think that that will really, a lot of people, and I think a lot of people will be able to relate to that. So that's super cool. Yeah. So, well, yeah, I mean, let's keep going. How did you feel when you were finished writing it and then it was done and you couldn't turn back, you couldn't change things? You know, how were there moments you were like, what did that, like, I know what it felt like for me. And I always ask that because, you know, sometimes you're like, man, I don't know, how did that come across? I could have changed that. But at some point you just got to, you know, be happy with what you have put out there.
Well, at first I want to say that this whole process of writing a book, Julie, my wife and I were reading that book, The Surrender Experiment. So we were getting close to this place where we were letting go of what the result might be, letting go of what the feedback might be. And my editor said to me, Mac, just get ready for your first 3-star or 1-star review. It might be scathing and it might hurt your feelings, and it's going to be totally fine. So I was and I saw it. I got my first 2-star review, and it was in there and said that it was much younger that said that it didn't connect with them. Okay. And just being able to receive that feedback from a stranger was something that they prepared me for well. So that was going through my mind, is what people are going to think. Right. And someone asked me once, Amy, they said, man, how are you going to know this is successful? What does success look like? And for me, success is very simple in the book. It is someone calls me, or someone messaged me, or someone puts a review that says that this is exactly what they needed to hear, and it was helpful for them. And I've gotten a few of those so far. So that has made it worthwhile. I mean, if I'm lucky, maybe at some point this book can, you know, make up for the financial investment. I didn't do it for that, right? That's a nice side benefit to it, if should that come to fruition. But really, I wanted to help the person that is the recovering perfectionist that does think they're doing it all for the benefit of their family and everyone around them, and they're not able to see through everyone else's lens. So they come off as very selfish, maybe even narcissistic from time to time. And that's not their intent. They just didn't know it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that's the first answer, is that that's why the book, and that's, you know, how it felt to get started. And now, even, you know, reviews come in, and as people offer feedback, it's still kind of a little bit surreal that there's a book out there. And yeah, I think it's that my daughter, who's 7 right now, I've got 3 of them, but my 7-year-old, she's sitting with me at karate last night while her sister's doing the class. I look down, I snap a picture. She is writing in her own journal, and she has done what she calls her own book. She's on book 2, right? So this is kind of cool. She's asking me questions. Can we publish my book? And I'm like, yeah, let's figure out a way to do that. So that was also a side reason that I was hoping might kind of catch Amy. It was they might try to model it. So one of my daughters, at least, is writing a book right now. So that's cool.
I love it.
That was the nice thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was going to be one of my questions of, you know, what did your family, you know, feel like? How did that, you know, that work out for them? I know, you know, it can go all different directions. Every day is something different.
Well, it's interesting because I'm laying in bed like a month ago when it came out on March 8th. So we had a couple advance copies and my wife's laying there. We're laying there at night and she's on chapter 5. And she leans over and she says, "Is this me?" And she asks if she is Kayla, one of the love interests that Patrick eventually has. And she says, "Is that me?" And I'm like, "Yes." And then when she finishes the book, she says, "Oh my God, I can't believe it. Was I that close to leaving? Is that what you thought?" You know, so someone asked me that in a book club the other day. They said, "Did your wife almost leave you?" Right? And I said, "Well, you got to realize the narrative of this recovering perfectionist that she's gone, she's left. Did she physically take the kids and leave and go to the parents' house and walk away to spend months and months apart? No, we did not. This is the inner narrative that stemmed from a conversation we had where I was taking it very literal. And that was a turning point conversation where I felt that, you know, for long enough have I not been able to really listen and see it through her eyes. I've got to change now." Isn't that true in life though? When we hit what some could say is a rock bottom, you know, that many times is the impetus for change. And that was the impetus for, you know, me changing the way that I showed up for my wife. In that one conversation and the way that my mind played it out from there, yeah, I'd say that it was a big impetus for change. And yeah, playfully, she brought that up to me when she read and finished the book. So yes. Yeah.
I think that's great. It's interesting that she's like, "Is that me?"
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. One of the coolest parts about writing the book, there are so many different to write a book out there. But one of the things I wanted to make sure I did is I wanted to make sure that I honored all the people that have helped me on the journey. Mm-hmm. All right. So one of the things that people have said, this is not what I expected, is that I put a number of people in the, you know, special thanks section in the beginning, and then a number of endorsements in the back from people that I wanted to thank and who wanted to honor me and share in the book. And you know, so that was something very intentional. We were talking about how you were spending some time with one of your friends, Amber Villhauer, recently. And Amber's on page 3 of the book, right next to another friend of ours, Justin, you know, who's actually mentioned and endorsing it on the cover. You know, so it's something I want to honor those people that made a real impact in my life. The people I've leaned into when I needed some hope and some perspective, like we all do. The people I leaned into when I felt like keeping it inside, like a lot of strong minded men who are my age, who grew up in an environment, don't really share your feelings, right? You kind of keep it to yourself and work through it. Well, that was the way that I thought about it for a long time. And these people that I name in the book are people that have had a great impact, have had an amazing impact. So, thank you for giving me the chance to talk about it today. I'm certainly excited to know.
Yeah, I really wanted to just dive in and talk about it. It was interesting because one of the first things that I did when I received the book is I flipped it over to the back. And I remember reading Dr. Kelly Flanagan's kind of words that just, I think I've read it, I don't know, probably 10 or 15 times. And every time I read those words from Kelly, it just seems as though I think of something different. But for those that don't have the book, you got to grab the book. Definitely grab it. It's on Amazon. And flip it to back, because this is one of the things that really kind of hit me. It says, "Optimism can be our most powerful mindset, but it can also become our biggest blind spot if we use it to avoid the deep realities of life." I was like, wow. And I read it over and over and over. And I don't know if everybody out there understands what that means. And it'll probably mean something totally different. And then you'll think about an experience in your life where maybe you're like, okay, that makes sense. And I can see that. But what a powerful statement. Truly powerful.
Yeah. And that's, I think that the of that, if you're mm-hmm. someone that calls yourself an optimist and all you do is see positive and you ignore with the challenges in front of you, I might call that toxic positivity. It is positive no matter what. That's not what I call eternal optimism. Eternal optimism is having an engine or a way that you can always learn from the stuff around you. You know, so my optimism stems from, I want to see the positive in the situation. You know, if they, for example, you know, I'll get 18 years ago, my father passed away. There's nothing positive about that day. It's the worst day of my life by far, easily. And now in retrospect, there are positive things that have stemmed from that tragedy. You know, the positive is that I'm closer to mom. The positive is that, you know, I've had an ability to share a story and help other people go back and connect with loved ones in their world that they've been, you know, estranged for a number of years. Because again, it's never too late, you know, to reconnect. You know, so I think that eternal optimism is a step forward from what some might call optimism, in that we learn how all the time, no matter what's coming at us, we learn how to strengthen. We learn how to lean into this challenge that we're facing and show up in a new and evolving way all the time. And have some patience and grace with ourselves, because we're not perfect and stuff gets hard, right? It's challenging sometimes. That doesn't mean we can't learn from it. That doesn't mean we can't model for our families, for others, you know, how to be. It also doesn't mean we can't, you know, occasionally break down and have a tough time, because that's life. As we're talking about this serious subject, I've got a big smile on my face because I flipped through. I'm actually on page 7, and I remember that I wrote down Eric Post's name in here as one of the people I thanked. So Eric, of course, is in here. I remember the first time I met him and had a good conversation with him. By the way, I had to guard him in basketball, but I'm taller, so I wasn't too intimidated, but he boxed me out a couple of times. Yes. So yeah, the entire extent of honoring all the people that have been a part of the support group. I might ask the listener to do this. You know, grab your pen and paper if you're not driving, and jot down, like, who are the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, between 1 and 5 people that if you feel you're having a tough time, then you just pick up and text. You just pick up and call, right? Because there are people out there. If you're listening to this show right now, there are people out there that you can reach out to, that won't judge you, that won't or delete the call. They'll be there for you. You know, and you may have trouble coming to that realization or picking up that phone, but trust me, try it. You know, find those 1 to 5 people you can reach out to. If you feel a moment of weakness or a moment of emotion, you need some support, you know, search for this inside of your community here, Amy. Search inside Amy's community. But there is someone out there you can reach out to. And the people I reach out to are the people that are listed special thanks in this book. So I wanted to highlight those people. And you named Kelly Flanagan. I'm actually having him on the show tomorrow for the second time to talk about the book. And he's one of my favorite authors. Yeah, so he's got some out there himself. Yeah.
I love it. As I look at individuals again that you had mentioned, and many of them, and I think it's interesting because I could live through, you know, my husband Eric vicariously after he would come home from the front row dads, and it was just so exhilarating. And I hadn't really found, you know, groups like that. And I'm now finding more, but I'm also opening myself up, you know, now after being through a lot of trauma and figuring that, you know, my story is worthy and people will care, and they have shown that they care and they know. And that's kind of enabled me to find different things. But I remember when he would come home and I'd be like, tell me all about it. And these just brilliant, amazing individuals, these great stories, these people that just, I'm like, they're not human. They're just these amazing individuals, the positivity and the optimism and helping each other and being there and having each other's back. And no matter what, it's such cool individuals. And I think that we all need to strive to find a few of those individuals, because they are out there. And I think that if, I agree with you, if you're in a tough spot and you don't feel that you have, you know, somebody to lean on, I mean, man, that is the time to just be leaning in even more and really trying to find that person. And if you don't think that the person will respond, I know nowadays we can reach out on our phone so much, but people will, you know, reach back. It's great, but surrounded with those kind of individuals and being optimistic. And we try to raise our kids that way. You know, my daughter's 13, my son's almost 17. And my son's, one of his friends' mother actually reached out to me recently and just thanked us so much for how kind and sweet my son Zach was, for, nice, you know, just really being there for her son. And he was having some difficulties and anxiety and stress, and, you know, just being thanked to know that your child has a good heart and not judging people. And just, you never know what the next person beside you is going through. You have no idea. And if they lash out at somebody, there's got to be on and really digging deep versus judging those individuals. And I think I'm on a mission this year for change.
Yeah.
And to just really try to make sure that we're all wrapping our arms around each other and uplifting each other and never judging that next person, because I will tell you that person probably has it even worse than you think you do.
Yes. And you said something that kind of inspired me here. I'm going to write it down. You said you're on a mission for change. It makes me wonder, what is the thing in my life right now? What's my mission for change about? So if there's something that you, dear listener, or something that I or Amy, if we're talking about change, what is something that we like to change, or what's an attitude that we like to change? So I like that you're talking about the mission for change. What it brings up me is I'm thinking about of all these pro dads that we go on, it takes a village, takes an army, right, to raise this particular named Matt. You see, a number of people know me, they see the smile, they see the positivity, and they wonder, is it always like that? And I like to think it mostly is, that does not perfect, and it does not mean it's without pain. And this particular group of people, the Front Row Dads, has been a great source for me to work through a lot of that. I didn't know how to do this. Just as little as 3 years ago, Amy, I joined a group. I called it with a friend of mine, Front Row Dads. We called it From Anger to Acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. There's some people that had some built up compartmentalized emotion over time that they needed to deal with and let go of. And I was one of them. So I started this with several other men. And here we are 3 years later. We don't call it that anymore. None of us are angry anymore. Now we call it the Acceptance Squad. And just goes to show you that, yeah, you know, even if you think you're talking to someone who's polished and proper and they got everything going for them and it's all positive, it's all right, everyone's got stuff. Everyone's got a challenge. Everyone's got some stuff. So I would, again, strongly encourage our listeners, if you ever need a shoulder to cry on or a listening ear, then reach out to Amy or reach out to me and let's have a conversation. You'll find nothing but love and support and you know, just judgment-free acceptance from people who are also on this journey together. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, thought I'd throw that out there. But you inspire. Thank you for sharing that, because what's the mission for change that we're on right now? Mm-hmm. If we're in a tough spot emotionally, then what's the mission for change there? You know, if we're in a tough spot in any of our relationships, then what do we need to own and what's our mission for change in ourselves first? Yeah, these are things that up. So thank you for bringing that up.
And I want people to look at it as a positive thing versus having some, you know, negative stigma. You can Google, you know, change and why people don't want to change and things like that, or what's the most difficult things for people. And I think change is right up there at number one, like changing themselves, changing their thought process, changing their heart. And it's really interesting of, I think it has such a negative persona. We just don't want to change because we're just doing what we're doing. But I ask people to think about why you're doing what you're doing. And if you're still trying to do the same thing and get a different reaction or answer, it might be time to just put a positive, optimistic spin on it and see what we can do a little different. And I had the opportunity once again to really look back through these, you know, almost 10 years now of my life. And I remember in that hospital room just begging God to just change our situation. Just change it. I'll do anything. Just put me back where I was before that I heard that diagnosis. And I remember now being able to look back and go, that would have been the worst thing that could have ever happened to me if God would have placed me back in the same place that I was, because I wouldn't have the ability to be the person I am now and have made all those amazing changes to move myself forward into the person that God chose to be, and God really knew that I was supposed to be. So I think I just want people to lean into that positivity of change and put a goal of wanting and a change. And it doesn't have to be huge steps, you know, baby steps in making that change. But whatever it is, just really go into it with an optimistic, positive thought process.
As you're sharing this, I'm reminded of the old, I think it's a Chinese proverb. I'm totally going to mess this up too, by the way. So just have low expectations here, listener. I remember there was this time, you'll probably know it when I start to speak it. There's a story one time I heard where there was a man, a farmer, who he and his son were tilling the land, and his son fell off a horse and he broke his leg. And, you know, the man thought, the son was like all sad about it. He thought this is the worst that could possibly happen. His dad was like, well, give it time and we'll see, you know? Mm-hmm. And then later on that week, the army came by, conscripted all of the, in the village to go be soldiers. But the son couldn't go because he had a broken leg. So he got to stay and all of his friends died at war. Right. And, you know, he said, you know, this too, just let time pass. And, you know, every scenario, if you play it out and go forward in time, and we don't know what's going to happen behind the scope right here. What's the narrative that's going on? You know, is it one that this is going to be an opportunity to serve, an opportunity to move forward, right? Or is this one that's going to be my demise? I mean, to be kind of morbid about it, right? It's really up to you. It's up to you. So
yeah,
probably farther away than you think you want to be. You're farther away than you want to be, but you're actually closer than you think to the solution or to that next positive event. So hang in there, dear listeners. Never too late. Mm-hmm. Never too late.
Yeah. And I think sometimes, you know, what we think can be just a misunderstanding in our mind, miscommunication yes. with our brain. I think we can sometimes be our demise, you know, if we let it be. I know even speaking, you know, with my good friend Amber, and her book came out and me reading it and then looking at my own life in the last 10 years and the way that I saw things and how maybe they didn't happen exactly the way that I thought that they did. But being able to, I think, analyze those types of things, first and foremost, put that positive spin on it, but really just kind of dissect it a little bit is just, you know, it's showing maturity and ability to change and just dig in a little bit. And I know it's not easy for people, but I guarantee you it'll push you forward to a place that you've never even imagined that your life can be. And the people that you will have gravitate towards you and want to be with you and near you. And it's just going to just rock your world. And I'll say it again, I think change is going to be my thing this year, but surround yourself with the people that you want to be like, and that will better you and push you and encourage you, but hold you accountable. And accountability was something that kind of teetered in my life. And being optimistic all the time when I kept just getting that 1-2 punch down to the floor and didn't think I could get up. So I want to probably, along with you, encourage everybody to just keep getting up and keep thinking optimistic, because it will bring that best outcome. I guarantee you it will.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it better myself. And I'm actually, again, taking notes. You got a lot to say that's good. So I take some notes on this stuff. This is good stuff, Amy. Thank you. You had me on the show today, but I feel like you offered so much value in your story right there.
I appreciate it. I mean, I think everybody should definitely grab a copy of The Eternal Optimist by Matt Drinkon. Grab it on Amazon. Definitely give it a read. You don't want to miss out on this opportunity. I think it'll put a smile on your face. It'll be something that then you could give to somebody else. Gift it to somebody else. Do something great for somebody else. If you know you want to take a gander, but if you find somebody that really needs some optimism, or this might be something that would really change their life today, I think the best thing that you could do is give a book like this. And the most successful people in the world consume as much as they possibly can by reading. So I always tell, you know, my kids, don't take the easy route. Pick up a book and read it. Read every single book that you possibly can, but start with something that is just going to really uplift you. So, I mean, I love this. And I know we're coming kind of the end of our time. Is there anything else that you want to share? Any other, you know, best success stories, or what, you know, you best took away from this? I think you shared so many great things, but I want to give you a chance to say anything else.
Well, thank you for offering a platform which we can share the things in this book with the world. But I would share this, that if you're a listener going through some type of challenge and you want support with it, then get a couple copies of the book. Get one for you and get one for the person closest to you and read it together. You know, because it's something that if you feel there's something challenging going on, then you might not be the only one, and it may be tough to do it by yourself. You know, so do it with your significant other. Read the book together. You know, make it part of your book club. There are lessons here that can transcend and be part of your family, be part of your business, be part of your church family, be part of, you know, the advocacy group. There are lessons that you can learn with each other, and it's good to have a partner. So get multiple copies of it and share it with people you know. And yeah, I think that's it.
I love that, because I guarantee you'd be thinking also the other person can really kind of shine some clarity on it as well and hold you accountable and bounce ideas off of. I love that. I think that is the greatest thing. I think everybody should grab two copies, give it to start reading it and see what happens to your life.
Awesome.
All right. So that you are talking to someone, I know when we talked our first time, and I think we've had three podcasts now together total, you're always talking about, you know, what are the best you're reading right now? So otherwise than Matt's book right here, what other great you think, you know, or something that you'd like to share today?
Wow. Okay. Well, since we're going to dive right into it, I'll tell you this, that the business book I'm reading right now for the third time is Scaling Up by Vern Harnish. You know, the Rockefeller Habits Checklist, the 10 habits on here is something I use in business coaching. So I'm loving on that. I just finished reading this book right here by Rich Froning called First. He is the man who won the CrossFit Games 3 times in a row about a decade ago. Mm-hmm. He talks about, you know, everything that challenged his faith on the way to winning the CrossFit Games. He had some deaths in the family with people close to him. So this has been a pretty good book. And then I think the last book, it's a little bit out of reach right now, but I'm reading a book from Dr. Kelly Flanagan. It's coming on my show again tomorrow. I'm rereading his book called Lovable. Mm-hmm. You know, which is, in my opinion, you know, one of the best books about how to learn to love yourself and be able to be in a place where you can be loved. So good books around. I love to go on the rabbit hole one day on a book nerd tour, because there's hundreds of them behind me. But those are the three that are right around me right now.
I love it. I see all your great books behind you. I'm envious. I have several behind me and I read them over and over again. And I pick something up new every single time I reread those great books. So I appreciate it. Well, Matt, thank you so much for, you know, being on the podcast. It was such a pleasure talking to you again today and just really seeing where your life is going. And I love that we're able to share this and share your book with the audience. Any last thoughts?
Thank you. Appreciate you all, dear listener. Remember, it's never too late. You know, reach out to someone. We're here for you. And thank you.
That's great. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to Advocacy and Hope. And just want to let you know that, you know, there's always hope and you're not alone. So please reach out. Don't hesitate. You know, I'm a message away. You can look me up on my website at amypost.com. Definitely just, you know, you're not alone. We appreciate you so much, and we'll see you next time. Thanks.